Well, hello, boys and girls. This is Paul Nichols, the Investor Coach. I hope this finds you well as you're listening to this today. Today is the 31st of January as I'm recording this, but we are going to do a market update for January 28th. You're listening to Paul Nichols with It's Your Money, the podcast that pulls back the curtain on the financial services industry and exposes the truth about money and investing. We believe education leads to clarity, clarity to confidence, and confidence can result in peace of mind. I'm here to pull back the curtain and expose the truth about money and investing. You know, ladies and gentlemen, you don't need to know everything. You just need to know the few right things. And I have a question on my mind today that I wanted to share with you and a little food for thought. Perhaps you might ponder on this today. This may be a briefer podcast than normal. Let me get right into the market update and a quick brief definition as to why we do it. I just did it a few days ago, the last podcast, so this one hasn't changed much. However, it will reflect the turbulent issues we're having internationally with Egypt. Oil's been bouncing around a little bit. We're not exactly sure what's going to happen with the Suez Canal. As many of you may be familiar with the headlines right now, there's concern as it relates to the leadership in Egypt. And I am not educated enough in that arena of the world to be able to comment outside of that is why the market is turbulent the last close of business on Friday, January 28th, 2011. This is January 28th, 2011, market update. The intent is to give you an idea of all the major index in the country and globally. For example, the S&P 500 index and the Russell 2500, the Russell 2000, the Morgan Stanley Capital International, etc., with the intent to try to get an idea of how the market is doing for this year, 2011, up to date, which would be the close of business Friday, January 28th. We believe in modern portfolio theory. We believe the market's efficient. You can't beat them, join them. It's certainly, when you look at past performance, and that's certainly not indicative of future results, we realize that 2 out of every 3 years is up, 1 out of every 3 years is down. So when we're looking at the market, we realize it's like going up a flight of stairs with the yo-yo. It's going to go up and down. We never know which asset class, which group of stocks, which area of the stock market is going to be up, so we want to own the entire marketplace, which leads me to the question that I started to open with today, and that is, do you consistently and predictably achieve market returns? Now, what's interesting about this question, ladies and gentlemen, when I pose it to most people, they look a little confused at me. And what really stumps most of us out there, most people that I've talked to about this, is that they're not exactly sure what market returns are. Unless you really look at a market update like we do weekly or periodically, it's not really easy to go to one source and find a market update. We have to go to several sources to build it so that we can bring it to you. So the question is, for example, if the market was up on average across all the asset classes last year, 2010, of about 20%, but you're getting 10% in the market, well, it begs to differ. Why? Why is it that I'm getting 10 when the market is actually returning 20? The challenge is most people really do not know what market returns are. That's why we do this periodically and share with you what they are. In fact, here's what they are as of business close Friday, January 28th, 2011. Let's start with the Russell 2500 and the Russell 2000, which measures small to very small companies in the U.S., predominantly growth. So these would be small growth U.S. And we're up about 0.5% in the small and, I would say a little less, a negative actually in the micro. See, what happened was, this will be the first market update I've done in quite a while that has some negative numbers. It is inclusive of only the first month, basically, of 2011, and Friday was a dog day, no doubt about it, in the market. That brings us to the Russell 2000, which measures small value U.S., small value U.S. area of the marketplace. It's down about 0.5%. Russell 1000, which measures large value U.S., large value U.S. companies, Russell 1000 Value Index, It's about 1.5% to the good, so yay team with U.S. Large. And that takes us to U.S. Large growth predominantly, which is what most of us are familiar with, the S&P 500 index. And it's about 1.5% to the positive as of the end, roughly, of January 2011. Let's go on to the international area, where we have the Morgan Stanley Capital International Index, or INDICE being plural, meaning that we're going to look at the World Index, which is a market capitalization weighted index and is designed to measure developed markets like Australia, Canada, France, Germany, Greece, Ireland, Italy, Japan, Netherlands, New Zealand, etc. It's about almost 2 points up for the year. Emerging markets, which would be Morgan Stanley Capital International Emerging Market Index, which would measure the emerging markets, for example, Argentina, Brazil, Czech Republic, Egypt, India, Indonesia, etc. Well, it's down about 2.25. So it's the most suffering asset class, and rightly so, considering that Egypt and the concern of the oil, the Suez Canal, transport, travel, commerce, etc., has affected the market. News does drive the market because it's based on investors and the investor behavior of millions, hundreds of millions, can we say billions of people on the world, on the planet, in the world. As a result, people and their behavior or emotions reflect the market. And as of Friday, we see that. Now, we'll see what happens at the end of today, which is Monday, the 31st. And we'll see how it goes. But as of right now, we're seeing roughly about a half to 2 points positive in the U.S., and about the inverse of that, a half to 2 points negative internationally. That's our market update, basically for the end of January 2011. Now, let me pose this question again. Do you consistently and predictively achieve market returns? Most people don't even know what market returns are. And when they look at trying to understand them, they should have a good idea by understanding what we're doing with the market update. If we know that all the different asset classes, how they're doing from time to time, we should own all those. We can simply take the percentage or the weighting of our portfolio. Let me make it very simple. You got $100. You got it invested. You want to invest in all the areas of the market, small companies, large companies, growth companies, value companies, short-term and only short-term bonds, and some money instruments, T-bills, etc., cash, international small. You want to be in the emerging markets, developed markets. You want to own the entire marketplace because we never know what asset class is going to be up and what's going to be down in any given year. So you want to own them all, ladies and gentlemen. With that in mind, if you had $100 and you invested those based on Markowitz, the science that he won the Nobel Prize for, along with Merton Miller and William Sharpe, 1990 Nobel Laureate recipients, basically, you would realize that when you look into some work that he's done, he invented and has been credited for the Markowitz Efficient Frontier, where he designed different portfolios. You've probably heard the term conservative, aggressive, moderate. Well, a lot of that is attributed to Mr. Markowitz. But if you were to take $100, invest it in a portfolio, conservative, aggressive, whatever percentages those would be, and then simply look at the market update at any given time, you're going to know whether you are getting market returns. Because we believe you can't beat the market, join them. You want to basically buy into the idea that the market's efficient. If you don't, then you would never own an index fund. You would never, basically, you should stay connected with every piece of information out there. Try to speculate and gamble and forecast what's going to happen in the market. No one's been able to do it with any consistency. We do not believe active management works as a result, chasing the market, but simply owning the entire marketplace, owning it in the proper percentages. And then you're going to know how you're doing consistently and predictively compared to the market. And if we know the market's up 2 out of 3 years, we just want to get market returns. We want to get market returns, and we're going to get what the market will bear. Ladies and gentlemen, sometimes that's a bear market and not a bull market. but a bear market. But we look at the last 3 years. 2008 was negative. 9 was up. 10 was up. Yay, team, were they up. I mean, in only a major way. I wish I could do my Jackie Gleason impression, but not very good there. But anyway, it is all good. Do you know where you fall on the market with sufficient frontier, and do you consistently and predictively achieve market returns? One answer will help you with the other. I hope this helps you today. Like I said, I'm going to be brief. This is Paul Nichols, the investor coach, pulling back the curtain on the financial services industry and exposing the truth about money and investing. I hope this finds you well. Check your portfolio to the market. If you'd like to learn more about an academic approach to investing, regardless of where you're listening to this, that is if you're in the U.S., of course, we can help you out. You can actually go on to our website, Financial Abundance, Inc. Yes, I'm going to hawk for a moment, Financial Abundance, Inc., .com, and request the investor awareness guide, or you can just ask the coach a question. Love the feedback. We get about 1,000 downloads of this show per month, considering we only do 3 or 4 a month. That's pretty good. Thank you for those of you that are listening. And really, there's no benefit for us doing this outside of we hope that it helps you and it broadens your horizon and your financial literacy or your financial acumen. We hope that what we do here occasionally, and we have about 300 hours of programming on our website, have done for many years, can enrich your life, certainly from an informational viewpoint, because education leads to clarity, clarity leads to confidence, and confidence can lead to peace of mind. Ladies and gentlemen, you don't need to know everything if you know the few right things. And in fact, our investor awareness guide includes the 20 must-answer questions as it relates to being a prudent and intelligent investor. This is Paul Nichols, the investor coach, hoping this finds you well, pulling back the curtain with It's Your Money, the financial podcast that exposes the truth about money and investing. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next week. Have a wonderful day.